content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to That's a Laugh. This is Jennifer Green with the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading funny stories, quotes, and other anecdotes that we hope will add a few chuckles to your day. Thank you for listening to That's a Laugh today. Of course, we are able to bring you this and every episode of TAL thanks to the lovely miracle we know as technology. Today's episode pays homage to technology, how it has made our lives better, and how it can sometimes be a real pain in the neck. We'll hear about someone who reached the end of the internet. No, really. How to navigate social media, and how the more technology changes, the more it kind of really does stay the same. First up, an anonymous quote from coolfunnyquotes.com. Dear humans, in case you forgot, I used to be your internet. Sincerely, the library. And on that note, Whoopi Goldberg rants, reminisces about a staple of technology, the automated phone operators. From her book, Is It Just Me or Is It Nuts Out There?, published in 2010, Chapter 72, Stress 1 Now. Don't you just love when you call a business to talk to somebody, to tell them your issue, your problem, to get that little personal touch, and instead you get that Stephen Hawking digitized voice that lets you know it's a computer automated operator? Those robot operators, roboperators, I hate them. I can understand why they have them. Not only does it save costs in this bottom-line economy, but I suppose a lot of calls that come in are so easy to categorize that a live body doesn't need to sort out the subtleties of what callers want. If you want to make a reservation, you press 1 now. To cancel, press 2. Fine. Oh, come on now. You know this is just because they don't want to have to hire another person and have to pay them. And doesn't it seem that most times not even one of the options they offer applies in any way to what you called to do? What if I don't want to make a reservation or cancel one? What if I want to find out if there is a car rental desk at the hotel? Or if the noisy building demolition across the street is still going on? Sometimes you get into those automated systems, and it's like getting shot down with some Rube Goldberg, no relation, shoot, into a maze of electronic twists, turns, and dead ends. It's especially nutty when the voice recognition technology isn't up to snuff and it can't understand what you are saying. If you are a current customer, say yes. No. So to confirm, you are a current customer, correct? If so, say yes. No. Good. I'll connect you to current customer relations. Your wait time is approximately 42 minutes. That's robot speak for grab a comfy chair. But wait, I don't want... Click. And then you're enjoying the soft hits of the 70s. Gah! If they're going to use these systems, they've got to get it together. How many times does the digital sweetheart ask you to input your account number, enter the date of purchase, and your middle school shoe size, only to have the live, warm body that finally comes on the line ask you for the exact same information all over again? Gah! Gah! Since this is the wave of the future, rather than fight it and have steam come out of my ears every time I call a business, I have learned to amuse myself with a little head game. It's simple. All you have to do every time you hear one of the little prompts of marketing bull is to say the opposite in the operator's perky DJ voice and try not to laugh. It's hard not to. For example, when they say, "Your call is very important to us," say, "You don't mean zip to us. Thank you for your patience." You say, "You're a loser with nothing better to do." And remember, keep it perky. someone will be with you momentarily, becomes, I hope you went potty because this is going to take all day. We're busy assisting other customers, translates to, it's lunch hour, deal with it. All right, it's not that much fun after the first 20 minutes. But if you have a problem with that, just call, because you know you are very important to us. And speaking of important, nothing says important more than always being connected. Always, which was an issue even before smartphones. Ms. Goldberg has something to say about that, too. Also from her book, Is It Just Me or Is It Nuts Out There? Chapter 31, Thank You for Not Texting. I don't have an answering machine. I'm not there. Call me back. I turn my phone off after a certain time for a simple reason. I want that time to myself. I see so many people with their BlackBerries, and they can be reached 24/7. Not for me. Is it for you? Say, you're not addicted or anything, are you? Good. Just to be sure, let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you take your BlackBerry into the bathroom? Do you reach for it first thing when you wake up? Can you put it down? Have you forgotten how to have conversations over dinner without your BlackBerry? Do you reach for it the moment it pings? You do? Huh. Have you wondered what is going on in your life that you can't leave that message to sit there without having to respond instantly? Isn't that kind of like an addiction? Seriously, do you really want to be reached in the shower? In the bathroom? Every second that you're awake, do you want someone to be able to put their hands on you? Where is your alone time? Do you get any? Most people that have BlackBerries do not. They don't have time alone. They don't know how to do it anymore. They can't resist the textation. Try this. Take the time to leave the BlackBerry outside of the bathroom door when you're home and see what happens. Put it down. Leave it upstairs. Leave it somewhere and see how you do. See if you can do without being connected 24 hours a day, if you're not a doctor. Just try turning it off for one evening, and then turn it back on the next morning. And guess what? You didn't really miss anything, except someone's annoyed at you because they wanted you when they wanted you. Well, it's not about them. It's about you. And reclaiming your life by being a person that says, here are my work hours. This is when I can be reached. People don't really have an actual vacation now because they have their BlackBerries with them 24/7. Now, before the digital rage, people would go away for 2 weeks and wouldn't check in at the office. Now some folks say, well, I can do both and stay away longer. But come on, most people can't. You not only don't stay away longer, you can't really call it time off, can you? Try this next time you take your kids on vacation, and you should take your kids on vacation. Don't check your BlackBerry every 5 minutes. Otherwise, you might as well be at home. It's hard. They call it a crackberry for a reason. And guess what? If you are a crackberry addict, and want to kick the habit, you have to do it yourself. And a good place to start is by telling people that's what you're doing. Don't worry, you don't have to stand up in front of a room and say, my name is so-and-so and I'm a crackberry addict, or anything like that. Although, I bet that's coming. What you do have to do is set boundaries with people. You've got to say to them, between these hours, I'm not taking calls except from my kids. Unless it's an emergency, I don't need to be this connected. I think this is one of those generation things. You know, another place where age clashes with youth. Because when you are of a certain age, you can say, you know what? I'm turning all this off. I've had enough for one day. And you do. But young people live on a 24-hour cycle. They don't know about respites. Also, people have to realize that when they set an example of spending their lives on call, having their BlackBerry out of their pocket, checking it all the time, they can't be shocked when they take the family to dinner and everybody's got their BlackBerry out. It's the family meal, and every one of them has their heads bowed. And as much as it looks touching, like a Norman Rockwell painting of a family saying grace, they aren't. They're all looking under the table, texting. My grandkids do it all the time because they don't know what it's like not to be able to reach somebody for one full hour or maybe 10 minutes. Once upon a time, we lived in an era where you had to wait to get home to get on the phone and tell somebody something, or you had to have enough change in your pocket. When did 9-to-5 suddenly turn into 24/7? Would you have thought to call someone at the restaurant where they were eating? Or at the dentist? That's the next step. Dentists are going to have to work around patients reclining in the chair, holding their BlackBerries up over their heads, tapping away on their little keyboards. OMG, I am so slobbering right now. Would you have thought to call someone at the casino table? No. When you got back to your room, you saw that you had messages, and you responded when you were ready. But now, how long can you be away from it? Not long. Otherwise, it's like, where the hell were you? Personally, I think it can be healthy to let people know it's none of their business. Tell them they don't need to know everything you're doing every second of your life. Say you were sitting in the park. Why couldn't I reach you? Because I didn't pick up my phone. Because I didn't want to be bothered at that moment. But I needed to talk to you. Okay, what is it, huh? What did you want to talk to me about? I just wanted to see if you were going to this thing. And you couldn't wait to find that out? No one died. No one got into an accident. You just wanted information when you wanted it. We've become a society that wants instant response, so we cannot be thoughtful. We cannot think about what our response is going to be because, ping, people are waiting for us to respond to them immediately. I think one of the reasons people are freaking out so much these days is because the pressure that they would have had to deal with before they got connected has now quadrupled. They call it wired for a reason, you know? Because now it's like, bzz, 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 I'm calling you. Or, ping, 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 I'm BlackBerrying you. Okay, so I've looked at your message and know something to me. I don't need to answer you immediately. But they want an answer immediately. Because that's what they need. Now, how do we work it out? I freak myself out by staying on those things. So, yeah, busted. True confession time. Recently, I've been dealing with it too. Every time it buzzes, I'm all, who wants me? Who's talking to me? There's something inherently wrong with that, because you lose so much of your personal time and freedom that it's scary. Don't get me wrong. There are great reasons to be connected. If you're in a car and something's gone wrong, you've got a flat tire, or you've got to call the police, or whatever. You've got to get hold of your mom. That's all great. But this idea that you cannot have a moment's peace without being constantly found out is insane to me. You were just checking your BlackBerry, weren't you? What the hell? Good old texting. Between that and social media, it's no wonder so many people are addicted to technology. But our next story reminds us that we don't have to lose our souls to technology, even if we're not sure the person on the other end actually has a soul. From the book, I Need a Lifeguard Everywhere But the Pool, written by Lisa Scottolini and Francesca Saratella, published in 2017, Francesca's chapter, Don't Bot with My Heart. There is one Twitter account who has been toying with me for over a year. The account is @WildBluePress, a publisher from Evergreen, Colorado. Nearly 12,000 followers, but following fewer than 400. So, discerning. I felt special when this account started following me. How had they found me? Through my writing? All the way from Colorado? I was touched. I followed back. We seemed to have a lot in common. We were both in the book business. At Wild Blue Press, favorited my animal welfare and disability rights tweets, so we agreed on the issues closest to my heart. And soon, I projected a host of wonderful traits and compatibilities into the person behind this account, chief among them, friendship. Then one day, I received another notification. At Wild Blue Press is now following you. Don't you mean re-following me? This revealed it had unfollowed me. But when? Did I say something wrong? How long have you been feeling this way? It was like one of those times when someone you've met many times forgets and reintroduces himself. I was the one who felt stupid. This happens occasionally on social media, like those old high school friends on Facebook whom I know I was friends with in the past, who pop up as fresh friend requests. Thought better of it, eh? I accept their requests, but I note it. You weren't that nice to me in high school, and you unfriended me in college, but then you see my name on a couple books, and suddenly you want to be all buddy-buddy again. I refriend, but I don't forget. See, on social media, you can get away with ghosting a conversation or a relationship without word. But if you want to get away with it, you can never refriend or refollow. That's what the mute function is for. But I wasn't mad at Wild Blue Press. I was hurt, which I know is silly. Social media isn't real. Twitter is such a jumble, I'd never notice when someone unfollows me. My own mother didn't follow me on Instagram, and neither of us realized for 4 years. Twitter is particularly weird because many, if not most, of the people you follow and who follow you are strangers in real life, yet relationships can form nonetheless. I once went out with a guy I met on Twitter. He was a writer and teacher in South Dakota. He came to New York, and we went out for oysters and cocktails. Then we hugged goodbye and never saw each other again. It's a strange and wonderful world, folks. My Twitter following is small enough that I notice my notifications when someone retweets or likes my tweet. It's a small thing, but it makes me happy. It almost makes me happier when a stranger likes it, because the approval feels more earned. The holy grail of Twitter is tweeting some observation that is so apt or witty or hilarious it goes viral. That's like being made prom king or queen of Twitter. The nadir of Twitter is going viral for saying something awful or stupid or offensive. That's the pig's blood getting dumped on your head. But the elusive promise of gaining a swell of popularity among strangers is why people get themselves into such trouble on Twitter. All of these non-comics showing up at a dangerously open mic, desperate for laughs. We think we're Chris Rock, but too many of us are Carrot Top. Point is, these strange, fragile online connections matter to us. So, at Wild Blue Press, bewildered me with its follows and unfollows, adding me to lists and taking me off them. I've dated men with fewer intimacy issues. And much like I respond with men, it made me try harder. I assumed it was my fault. I would try to be more interesting and retweet fewer cheesy baby animal pictures. Or more baby animal pictures. Tell me what you want at Wild Blue Press. All the Wi-Fi access in the world, but no communication. I never unfollowed Wild Blue Press to prove my loyalty. I'm here for you when you're ready to let down your walls. But when the account's behavior seemed truly random, I had a terrible thought. Is it a bot? I have heard of Twitter bots, robot accounts programmed with automatic posts or set to automatically follow and engage with users that fit certain criteria. But I thought all bots and spam accounts had sexy girl avatars and repetitive offers to make money working from home. All this time, I was feeling my heart lift at my latest notification from you, but was I being played for a fool? I feel so betrayed. I feel a country song coming on. Your retweets meant nothing. Your red heart's untrue. How could you do it, wild blue? I still don't really know. I can't bring myself to ask directly. To know might hurt too much. So, at Wild Blue Press, if you're reading this, I'm not like the other authors you follow. I care. Please follow me back. And stay. And so it seems nothing is everlasting, even relationships forged on the internet. And perhaps even the internet itself. That's right. R. Scott Murphy actually met a person who actually reached the end of the internet. Don't believe it? Well, neither did Mr. Murphy. From his book, Fun Stories, Searching for More Cowbell, published in 2019, an excerpt from Chapter 13, Reaching the End of the Internet. Having a big imagination is almost as important as having a big, say it with me, heart. What? You thought I was going to say something else? You said something else, didn't you? Sure, that's pretty important as well. Okay, it's official. I've managed to reach my target audience. You're my kind of people. Basically, I like a lot of things in life. But when you ramp it up to love, well, that's another story. Without bringing religion or fast food into the conversation, I love my family, my dog, baseball, all the crap I've put on my DVR, anything by Pink Floyd, lots of ice, car snacks, and I love my imagination. Anything is possible if you have a healthy imagination. To me, it's far more important to work out your imagination than it is to work out your body. That is, unless Gold's Gym wants to sponsor these things. Then I'll change my entire tune. I'll put a team together and work night and day to push apps onto your phone that sync with your GPS and lead you to any Gold's Gym within 100 miles of your vehicle. I can try to do this for any company. Call me. Yes, I love my imagination. God bless him, Robin Williams said, we have the right to bear arms and the right to arm bears, whatever the hell we want. That's the type of fuel that helps my imagination run wild. If you don't think creativity and imagination are a big deal, consider that I once worked with a guy who told me he had seen everything on the internet. I know. I'm really sorry. I'll give you a bigger warning next time I tell you something so ridiculous and mind-boggling. Breathe deeply. Exhale. Phew. Okay, now that your mind has come back to room temperature, ponder that for a second. I'll come again. Dude says he has seen everything on the internet, and he honestly believed it. Full disclosure, I was trying to save a few bucks and asked him who his internet provider was and what it cost per month. I may have even used the B word, bundling. Everybody wants you to bundle things these days. Who knew I could save money by purchasing cell phone service and toilet paper all at the same time? This is why we're still the greatest country on earth. I'm pretty sure it's interstellar domination, too. I'll bet they aren't bundling paper products and cell phone service on Mars or Jupiter. So, getting back, dude says, we don't do that anymore. I say, what, shop around for deals? He says, no, the internet. He was so serious that I had to say the silliest thing I could think of at the time. Wi-Fi, would you do that? He says, First off, we don't do Netflix. So after we saw some naked stuff, got a few recipes, and watched some moderately amusing pet videos, it all started to look the same. He then said, I think I saw everything there was to see on the internet. I reached the end of it. Dumbfounded, I just stood there like I'd been hit by Mr. Freeze's ray gun. It was worse than that time I mixed up wear your pajamas to school day in fifth grade. Some of my oldest friends still call me Scooby-Doo Pants. His words were so crazy that they kept echoing in my head. I saw everything on the internet. I saw everything. I reached the end. My mind created a mashup of it, but I couldn't contribute anything else to the conversation at this point. I'm really sad that I missed a great opportunity. That guy lives for conspiracy theories. It was the perfect opening for me to tell him that the government could still track him because he used the internet. But no, I was a punch-drunk boxer taking a standing 8 count. When I exhibit this type of behavior, it is usually reserved for unusual situations, like when one of my favorite celebrities unexpectedly dies, or when Doritos stops making its taco flavor yet again. I staggered into the bathroom, splashed water onto my face. I entered a stall, fell to my knees, and feverishly thanked the good Lord above that I was not born with such a small imagination that I thought it was possible for me to see everything on the internet. Wow! Wow, indeed. To wrap up today's show, a bit of advice on how to deal with computers from the balancesmb.com. First, from author unknown, never let a computer know you're in a hurry. Next, from Steve Wozniak, co-founder of Apple Inc., never trust a computer you can't throw out a window. And finally, these words about technology from community.spiceworks.com. Some things man was never meant to know. For everything else, there's Google. And that's all the time we have for today. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. I thank you for listening to this episode of That's a Laugh, and hope you will join me again next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the initial broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Are you enjoying the show? Do you have any amusing quotes or anecdotes you'd like to share? We'd love to hear from you. If you have any comments or questions about this or any other NCRS shows, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number, one more time, is 919-832-5138. Again, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.